Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, there was a time when being an entrepreneur wasn't such a glamorous thing. It may be that for you right now. You may think, entrepreneur, schmontrepreneur, what does that mean anyway? Well, you know, an entrepreneur, somebody said it like this. They said, first you have a problem, and then you have an entrepreneur, because that's the person that fixes it. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We work with Entrepreneur Magazine every week to bring you a radio show. It turns into a podcast and is available 24/7 on demand for you at entrepreneur.com. Check out our magazine on newsstands everywhere and the website, where there is videos, more podcasts of every kind when it comes to the entrepreneurial world, and lots of articles and great advice for you. This show is about advice, not only in business and for entrepreneurs, but it all works in life too. Because at the end of the day, if you continue to hone who you are and your skills in business, you're going to become more successful in business and in life, because the two go hand in hand. Our first guest today is a gentleman named Chris Farrell. He is author of a brand new book just out in the beginning of February, Purpose and a Paycheck, Finding Meaning, Money, and Happiness in the Second Half of Life. And it's interesting because roughly 10,000 baby boomers will celebrate their 65th birthday every day until 2030. 10,000 baby boomers. Are you in that? Are you one of those people? I can tell you right now that I am becoming very close to being that 65 number. I'll be 59 on my next birthday. So, I mean, it's within sight for me. And just in over a decade, more than 21% of the U.S. population, about 73 million people, will be past the traditional retirement age. If you fit into that, you probably want to check out Chris Farrell's book, Purpose and a Paycheck. Chris, maybe you could give us just a thumbnail sketch of why you wrote this book, and give people, you know, kind of that that pitch so they'll go out and buy your book, right? Because you're an entrepreneur.
Okay. So I wrote the book because, as you mentioned, we have an aging population.
Right.
And for the past, I don't know what, 25 years, the aging of the population, the demographics of aging, has been this dirge in the background of the U.S. economy.
Right.
We're going to have too few young people supporting too many of these dependent elderly. And, you know, people haven't saved enough. And this economy is just going to, you know, just decline along with the aging of the population. And I said, is this really true? And what it turns out, it is not true. And there's all this research plus common sense that says, well, yes, we are aging. We're living longer. We're also better educated than before. We're healthier than before. And, you know, we live in an economy where work, a lot of it is service, healthcare, education, a computer. You're not in a factory. You're not in a mine. You're not farming. And so I just started doing more research, looking into it. And what people are doing is they're reimagining, they're rethinking this second half of life to include working. Now, some of it's part-time, some is flexible schedule, some it's full-time, some is finding a new career. And I think what is most striking is how many people are embracing entrepreneurship in the second half of life. Hmm.
I can see here that you turned 65 last year. Congratulations.
Yes, I did.
And it looks like you have no plans on retiring. Of course, when you authored the book, Purpose and a Paycheck. I love this. First of all, I got to tell you, my dad is 91 years old, and he will not retire. He will not retire. It's like, 91? Come on, Dad. I finally had to take his driver's license away from his car, and oh, my God, he chased me around with a stick. But, yeah, we live longer these days. We are healthier. We are smarter. We have more tools in our toolbox to be able to continue working. My dad has written books on using what was originally called dragon speak, the ability to speak to your computer and have it write. So he's no longer writing, but that was 10 years ago. Today it's even better.
Yeah.
Now you can do it in multiple languages. You can, you know, there's a million things you can do. All right, well, this is very, very interesting. Let me take a little break and we'll come back and talk more. Again, Chris Farrell, the book is called Purpose and a Paycheck. And we hope that you fit into this category with us, older dudes, older people, that refuse to quit. We're just going to keep right on working and having fun. In essence, you know, it's, what does it say in the good book? By the sweat off your brow shall you earn your bread. I like bread, especially when it's hot out of the oven. We'll take a break. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly, I'm Alan Taylor. Our guest today, Chris Farrell, Purpose and a Paycheck. You know, I see here also that Chris is an economics contributor at Marketplace, an American public media's nationally syndicated business and economics forum, and an award-winning journalist and also a columnist for PBS Next Avenue and the Star Tribune. Man, you are a busy, busy man. And also has written for Bloomberg Businessweek, New York Times, Kiplinger's. You're a busy boy. Let's talk about the genesis of writing this book, Purpose and a Paycheck, because I love this. This is great. Thank you for being with us.
The reason for writing this book is I think the most underappreciated asset in our economy are older workers. They are underappreciated. When was the last time you heard of a company that is celebrating all their experienced workers and says, you know, we have a challenge. We have problems that need to be solved, which is what? That is the definition of entrepreneurship, right? We have a problem that needs to be solved. Let's get some of our experienced workers on the problem. And yet, when you look at so many companies, experienced workers are creative, they're productive, they're just often unacknowledged. And one of the reasons why so many people go off and start their own business is, hey, I am still creative. I'm still productive. And by the way, what I now know what to do, I know how to solve a problem. Hmm. And so they go out and they start their own business. It may be a very small solopreneur business. It might be something with a couple of employees. It might be even something bigger. But again, they know how to solve a problem and they want to continue to make a difference. Because I think, you know, I'm at the age, so as you mentioned, I'm 65. I'm at the age where young college graduates come to me and say, okay, I know what a job is, but what is this career thing? And these are wonderful conversations. They want to be independent. They want to make money, but they want to do something that makes a difference. They want to do something that they're proud about. Now I have the exact same conversation with 60-somethings. They want to do something that they think is meaningful. It's going to make a difference. They still want to earn an income. The only difference between the 20-something and the 60-something is that to a 20-something, time is infinity. To a 60-something, you recognize time is short.
Right. It's interesting. This makes me remember this story a buddy of mine told me that he went to his mother and he said, Mom, I got to make a decision and I'm torn. I got a chance to be involved with some guys that are really good in the internet and internet business. And this was when internet was kind of early. And he says, I need some advice. What do you think? And his mother, you know what his mother said to him? She says, no, honey, you don't want to get involved with that internet stuff. It's just, it's a fad. It's going to come and go. You know what? He didn't listen to his mother. As much as his mother loved him and gave the advice that she thought was good, he didn't listen to her and he did $100 million in business. Now, there's a difference between getting advice and advice from somebody who has been there and done that. And that's what you're talking about. People come all the time to me and ask me advice. If I don't know, if I tell them, look, I don't know, they look at me sometimes like, wait a minute, you're with Entrepreneur. You're supposed to know. No, no, no. I'm not going to give advice if I don't know. I'm not going to just go, well, you know, what the hell? Go give it a try. What do you got to lose? You know, no, I will give advice on what I know. If I don't know, I'll say, call Chris Farrell. He's done that. Or call whoever, you know, our editor-in-chief of the magazine. He knows somebody that has been there and done that, and they can give you some sage advice, some wisdom from the trenches, the people that have been there and lived there. That is what is important. And I believe that's what we do here on this show, and what you do too, Chris.
Yes, and what's really important off what you said, so you're thinking about starting a business. You have this idea. Entrepreneurs have this image of being they're the loners, right? They're out there.
Yeah.
They couldn't work in an organization, so they formed their own organization, right?
Right?
But the thing that I've learned about entrepreneurs is they share their knowledge. They share their experience. They share what they know. They'll even tell you how they price their product. And so if you're interested in the area, and there are all these ecosystems all over the place, you know, of different entrepreneurs, go talk to entrepreneurs in the area you're interested in.
That's right.
Learn about it. Just get that advice. I can give general advice, right? I mean, I kind of know some data. I know the research. I know what the Kauffman Foundation has done. But if you're thinking about starting up a small business around, you know, fourplex rentals, don't talk to me. I don't know anything about that business. But I know that there are independent entrepreneurs all over the country that know a lot about that
well,
business.
Like me. I own a small plaza. I have 28 rental units in that. I have 12 rental houses. That's my business. You nailed it, Chris Farrell.
Yeah.
The oracle of picking me right out of the cloud. We're going to come back and talk more. Chris's new book out, Purpose and a Paycheck. You can find him at chrisfarrell.net. That's F-A-R-R-E-L-L, chrisfarrell.net. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Award-winning broadcaster, Chris Farrell. I'm an award-winning broadcaster, too. And Chris and I talked, and we decided it means nothing. It really means nothing. We do what we do, and it's like, yeah, all right, great, okay. I put them on the shelf in there. People, what's that? I go, I won an award for an interview I did with Carol Shelby. And they're like, Carol who? I go, come on, Shelby Mustang, come on.
Exactly.
And half the time, you know, it's anyway. But I made the man cry. It was awesome. You know why? I asked him who his hero was. And at 84 or 5 years old, he said it was his father who never got to see him be a success, that his father was a postal carrier. And he started kind of tearing up and a tear rolled down his cheek. And because there, talk about an entrepreneur, Carol Shelby. I mean, think about, anyway, if you're a car guy, which I am. All right, speaking of that, Purpose and a Paycheck. What are you hoping that people will take away and learn from this book, Chris Farrell?
So on one hand, I hope that what people take away is there is so much opportunity in this economy, in our society, for economic growth, new business formation, all kinds of exciting things with the aging of the workforce and the population.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I hope they get inspired by some of the stories about these entrepreneurs who have started their business. One trend, I have no data. I looked hard for the data, hard to find it, but everywhere I go, boomers going to business with their millennial or Gen Xer children. And this is an incredibly exciting trend. So maybe you'll be inspired by that. Hmm. Maybe you're inspired to be a solopreneur and you're more like a, you know, you have the image of the artist. You know, you think about artists, musicians. You know, they always have various gigs. They want to do their passion, but they have to teach. They do other things in order to piece together a living. Maybe that's the way you're going to model it. But be inspired. And then some practical advice about how do you go about doing it. And a lot of it, I think, is you have to have some sort of side gig, some sort of something that's going on, a little moonlighting. You test things out. You figure out, is there really a market here? You know, because a lot of times you're not quite sure you want to take that leap. Is this enough in the market? You know, with the internet and technology, it's a lot easier to test things out these days, kind of do a little bit and see how people react, whether customers are willing to buy your service or your product or not. And you can get information fairly quickly, which is really valuable about whether you may love something, but that doesn't mean the market's going to love it.
Mm. Interesting. I'm going to go back to what I've done. I've been in business, in essence, with my children. They've been working for me. My oldest, who just had a baby last Friday, I'm a grandfather second time now.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And he's 31. He's been working for me since he was 16 years old and actually kind of started doing stuff when he was about 14. And then he just this last year went into real estate and just started taking off. So he knows about media. And he goes into the real estate world, and guess what? His media knowledge that he got through working in our media company has really helped him because he knows how to make videos. Mm. And, of course, in real estate, you know, imagine what that does for you. And he happens to love music, so videos with music go together well. And so, I mean, it's interesting, but I mean, this is a big subject. Do boomers and their kids get along the way they need to in business? Is that, have you checked that out?
Yes, and I think this is one of the big generational changes. And it's easy to be grumpy and to complain about things, but this is a really positive generational change. I love my father, wonderful man.
Yeah.
Now, my father would never think of walking into my room and saying, "Chris, do you want to go into business?" But if he had, we both would have run out of the room at the same time.
Right. Now, you would have jumped through the window.
If my kids came to me and said, "Dad, we want to go into business," I'd drop everything in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And I know so many people that is true. And, you know, one of my favorite sort of indications of how the populations get along, Pew Research did this survey, you know, of millennials and boomers about music. And the top four for both were the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And, you know, you start looking at all kinds of different things, and the generations do like each other, talk to each other, share information with each other in a way that my generation did not share with their parents. And we loved them, but it was a different environment.
Yeah. It's funny you're saying that because I've now had all these years, and I've tried to go into business with my kids a couple times. "Hey, you want to do this? You want to do that?" And they're like, "Eh." They want their independence, thank God. I want them to be independent. Yeah. But I think if it was reversed and they said to me, "Hey, Dad, what do you think about this?" I would probably jump at the opportunity. But fortunately, my kids, you know, and there's my youngest is 19 and my oldest is 31. They have all been very entrepreneurial. Of course, their dad is kind of, you know, the face for Entrepreneur Magazine. I get it. And I've been teaching them this all their lives. But I think you're right. Just using my life, I love being around my kids are my best friends. I love being around them.
Right.
I can't wait to see them. We can't wait to play games and party and go vacation and do all the things we do together. I don't drink. So when I say party, don't get me wrong. No smoking pot, no drinking. But I mean, having a barbecue, that's a better way of saying it. And I've created this environment for my kids to hopefully be able to communicate with me. I hope that you folks out there are doing the same. You know, the pride of humanity is the biggest downfall for all of us. We have to learn how to let the pride go and truly be mentors to our own children and our children's friends too. I find that's a big one. So, Chris, I love this, man. Great, great conversation. I mean, you can find him at chrisfarrell.net, and that's F-A-R-R-E-L-L. You know how to spell Chris, chrisfarrell.net, Minnesota Public Radio. You can hear him on the radio. You can find his book, Purpose and a Paycheck. It is a HarperCollins leadership book, and I'm sure you can find it online. Chris, you're the best. Thank you, friend.
Hey, well, thank you for having me. This has been wonderful.
Appreciate that. All right, there is a whole nother guest lined up. I typically do two per show. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back. Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, now it is time to talk to Jeffrey Hazlett. He's chairman and CEO of C-Suite Network and author of The Hero Factor. You can find his book at herofactorbook.com/herofactor. Jeff, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. We've been trying to get a hold of you for a good long time. I want to talk about The Hero Factor, subtitle, How Great Leaders Transform Organizations and Create Winning Cultures. So damn important. Welcome to the show.
I got to say, that's the coolest music in the world for any show. That's just cool. I was hoping you would just go longer with the music because I was dancing to it. I was really getting down with it.
You know what? I love my music. I probably play the same songs too much, but I happen to love those songs.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Nothing wrong.
Tell the world a little bit about, give us the elevator pitch on Jeffrey Hazlett. What should they know about you?
You know, I'm just one of those serial entrepreneurs. I bought and sold 250 businesses in my career, about $25 billion in transactions. I've been a former host on Bloomberg of my own television show, primetime show. I've been a judge on Celebrity Apprentice, things like that, on various shows. Managed budgets of billions and billions of dollars in my career. And now I'm leading the C-Suite Network and the Hero Club and driving to help, you know, have businesses operate at a different level and a better level. And that's what we're doing with the Hero Factor.
I think I know that you and I are friends both with Randy Garn. Is that true?
Oh, Randy's an awesome guy. In fact, I got a text from him like at 2 in the morning because he's out West Coast, I'm East Coast.
Right.
And then this morning I started texting him at 5 this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
3 o'clock. Yeah, 3 o'clock his time. So
All right.
We were having a good time.
And now it all comes together for me. But now let's talk about this book, The Hero Factor. Give me the genesis of making and creating this book and all that goes with it.
Well, you know, it comes off of the Hero Club, which Randy Garn was a big part of. You know, back in 1998, a guy by the name of Rob Ryan sold his company for $20.4 billion and set aside a percentage of the company for every single employee, making the single largest number of millionaires ever created in one day. I mean, boom.
Wow.
And all of these employees would run up to him and say, Mr. Ryan, you don't know me, but I'm the janitor. I can send my kids to college. You're my hero. Or I'm the night watchman and my mother-in-law's got cancer. I can pay for the operation. You're my hero. And he didn't feel like a hero, but he said, you know, I can do this with other businesses. So he started up a group called the Hero Club, and he got about 20, 30 people together, and he started working with them, and they started having exits, and some of them got out of the business because, you know, they found out what they were building wasn't going to work. But he could never scale it. Finally, he saw what we were doing with the C-Suite Network. He came to me and said, Jeff, could you take this over? And we did. And we built it into hundreds and hundreds of CEOs now that are joining. We make them sign a pledge that says they're going to operate their business like a hero company with a hero culture. Not that you set out to be a hero as a CEO, but to run your business as a hero, you know, culture. And what's that mean? It basically says you're not going to be the, you know what, whole. You're gonna be a real good operator. I don't know what you're saying.
See,
in my podcast and my radio show, even my own TV show in Bloomberg, I get bleeped.
I know.
So I have to be very careful. Yeah.
Self-editing. So, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing it in my part. And so we set out with this whole notion that, you know, where good to great leaves off, the hero factor kicks in, and it's all about living values. And picking sides and being diverse and being inclusive. And we find that, you know, like 57% of employees aren't engaged. 28% of the employees in a company don't even know what your mission is. And what we find is where we have hero cultures, they gross more dollars, they make more money on the bottom line, they have happier employees, they have more engaged customers, and they have vendors who want to do business with them. It's phenomenal. And it's a testament to how values in a business drive where you take the business, and more people want to do business that way. And that's what we're seeing. And it's been out there for years and years and years. But, you know, we were afraid for a long, long time as entrepreneurs or as business people to take sides, to say that we're going to stand for certain things. And by the way, you don't have to agree with it. I mean, you could be Kathy Truitt, who's a ultra-right conservative Christian who says, you know, we don't believe in same-sex marriage. Okay, great. You still make a great chicken sandwich. I'm still going to eat there. I don't agree with your politics, but by gosh, you take a stand, good for you. But you could be the opposite of that and be a Ben and Jerry and, you know, hug trees and you make good ice cream. I'm good with that. And so that's really what this is about picking sides and doing the right thing And building your business and running it with the community in mind, you got to take care of the communities, whatever they are. That's what the Hero Factor is about.
I love it, man. I can tell you that seems to me as an entrepreneur. Now, I'm a small potato in comparison to you, but I have character flaws. I recognize my character flaws. And I think that that's the first step is you've got to take a look at the man in the mirror, don't you think?
Amen, brother. That's exactly right. I talk about that. It's first the realization of who you are and what are your real values. In fact, there's an exercise in the book. In fact, I give it to you. It's for free. Go to the HeroFactorBook.com. You go to HeroFactorBook.com. We have a free assessment. You can take this assessment, see where your company, you know, is at. But in there, we have the steps that you can take. And the first one is the self-realization of what are your values? Well, you know, what are your walk-away values? I'm sure you have this, too. You have something like, let's say that when you first get started in business, you just want all the business. But is there some business that you're willing to walk away from because you don't like the guy or like the company or you don't like what they do or how they do it or they're just, you know, asshats, and therefore you don't want to do business with it? Well, what are those things? And by the way, I could say that word.
I was going to say, I have to take a break and call my attorney to see if we can say that. Don't go anywhere.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to talk about the traits of a hero leader. And I got to tell you, it's to me, as I'm recognizing these ugly things about myself, it's kind of like a smoker after they've quit smoking and then somebody starts smoking in a restaurant. They're like, that is disgusting. I can't believe they're doing that. It's like, I see myself now and I get disgusted by it. We'll take a little break. Jeffrey Hazlett, our guest today, theherofactorbook.com. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our guest today, Jeffrey Hazlett, Chairman and CEO, C-Suite Network, and author of The Hero Factor. This man has accomplished a lot. You can find him at HeroFactorBook.com and find out how to buy his book, and there's some free goodies there. But I'm curious, I want to talk about traits of a hero leader, Jeff, because I'm looking at myself going, all right, I need some coaching. Today it's you. But I think that's an ongoing thing. I mean, you right now are my mentor, and I appreciate that. And I think 500,000 other people are going to get the benefit of that. But I know that I need help, and I know that that is, you know, recognition is the first step to change, right?
Well, you just said it right there, looking in the mirror and, you know, taking what I called the mirror test. I actually wrote a book called The Mirror Test, my first book that was out. Mm. And it's really asking yourself the hard questions. But that's the first step, is realization that, hey, you're not the reason for your success. Certainly you play a part in it, but there's a lot of other people that play a part of it, a lot of other partners, a lot of customers, a lot of communities, you know, technology, everything plays a part in it. So the first thing is the realization and to be transparent and understanding that. That's step one. And then, you know, the next big step is then really, truly, you know, I think one of the best things that you can have as a leader, as an entrepreneur, and I use those terms interchangeably, is to really listen. Listen to the conversations with your people. Listen to conversations with your partners. Listen to conversations with customers. Listen to the conversations in the industry. You know, that's your role. And in doing so, you can find those ponies in there. As a leader, sometimes I think I know, you know, everything. Or because I'm supposed to be the expert in my field. I'm supposed to own the category. But you don't. Real leaders have a self-awareness that I don't know what I don't know. And I go around with a constant state of awareness. I'm a big hunter. I love to hunt. Mm. I'm sure there's listeners out there that don't like that guy to get over it. I'm from South Dakota. You know, we were born with guns. So, you know, and that's what we do. That's our state bird is the pheasant, and we shoot that, okay? So that's what we do, all right? So, you know, so I'm a hunter, so I'm constantly, when I'm driving around my old pickup truck, you know, or in South Dakota, I'm always looking. There's an eagle. There's a fox. There's a mountain lion. There's a pheasant. There's a quail. There's deer. And I'm always looking all the time. And I think, you know, business leaders, they're always looking. right? They're always looking, they're always aware, or they're in a constant state of awareness. So I think that's a big, big, huge trait for a lot of hero leaders.
What about the traits of a hero business? And I like that you said recognize your faults, listen, implement ideas. But how about when it comes to the entire business, traits of a hero business?
Well, the first thing is they're rallying around the vision. Everybody knows it. I mean, as I mentioned in the earlier segment, when 28% of the people don't even know what your vision is, you got a real problem. That's almost a third.
Yeah.
You know, where 50-some percent aren't even engaged, you know, in the business itself. So you got real issues. And that's most businesses, you know, myself included. So you have to have the self-realization of what's our vision, and we all buy into it. We all believe it. Do we drink the Kool-Aid collectively? And can everybody say it? That's step one. And then it really becomes about having diversity and diversity of thought and cognitive dissonance in terms of the things that we do and how we do it. So you can create that, you know, that little bit of tension inside the business where everybody challenges and put forth, and then you become much more inclusive as a group. So that those are some of the big things that we see around hero businesses.
How do you transform a company and the culture within it and not just feel like it's just such a giant mountain that you can't climb over because maybe there's a really bad culture in place right now? How do you make that change?
Well, it's like eating a whale, okay? And you're not going to swallow the whale at once. In fact, the whale's going to swallow you. So you eat it one bite at a time.
Right.
You know, culture is changed over a period of time, and culture's collective. So you can't just wave a wand and say, this is our culture. I haven't seen a business that does that yet, you know? And by the way, we all know the famous saying, culture will eat strategy for lunch any day. Mm. So you have to build a cult that over time gets you where you want to go. And if you're not getting there, you start replacing the people that aren't making it happen. And with everything, I always talk about the rule of thirds. You got a third of the people who get it right away, a third eventually get it, and a third never do. But most of the time, we spend our time on the bottom third trying to convince them to get there. Move on, okay? You know, I love you, but we're going to miss you. And so that's a big, big realization is understanding that you can't bring everybody along. We'd love to.
Right.
And we'll be inclusive, and we'll be inclusive as we possibly can. But this is where we're going. Do you believe in it? And if you don't believe in it, I love you, but we're going to miss you.
It's funny. I've been accused of being too nice by some and too mean by others. And I think to myself, man, which one am I? You know?
Well, yeah. A little bit of both, right? A little bit of both, because you have to be that way.
Yeah, right.
I would say somewhere in the middle lies the truth. Right?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, it's just like you get reviews on speeches. You know, my mom says I'm great and somebody else says I'm terrible. So somewhere in between is the truth, right?
I love it. All right. So the book is out on newsstands, The Hero Factor, How Great Leaders Transform Organizations and Create Winning Cultures. When we come back from this next break, I want to talk about answering the call to action. And Jeffrey Haislett, you can find his book once again, herofactorbook.com on the web. And I really appreciate you spending the time with us today. Entrepreneur Weekly, every week across the nation. Also podcast at entrepreneur.com. Don't forget to pick up an issue of Entrepreneur Magazine on newsstands everywhere. This show is to help you, whether it's in business or in your life. All these things are relative. They all dovetail together at some point. So guess what? Join me in my journey to be a better person and a better business person. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with more Jeffrey Haislett. I say your name, but you're not
around. Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Jeffrey Haislett joining us. He's the chairman and CEO of C-Suite Network. And I'm really impressed with what you've accomplished in your life, Jeff, and I appreciate you spending the time with us today. You talk about answering the call to action. Maybe you could riff on that for us.
Well, you know, when you think about hero leadership, it's a choice. You know, it's a choice to be more than good. It's a choice to be more than great. And no matter what the circumstances. So You know, hero leadership and this call to action, it doesn't choose you. It's a conscious choice, and companies need to make it. You need to make it. You need to decide what you value and then what you hold yourself accountable for. You know, what is that stated higher purpose? Look, $25 billion. I've sold over $25 billion worth of companies in my own lifetime. I was a millionaire the first time when I was 26 years old. All great. Love that. But in the end, what's it all do? You know, how much money do you need? How do you value where you want to go and what you want to have as your legacy? And that's what hero companies do. They say, look, I'm going to take care of my community. I'm going to make sure that there's money for the symphony. I'm going to make sure that there's money for the Little League. I'm going to take care of the environment because it's in my backyard. And I see this across the country, across all of North America, and quite frankly, across the world. Not with every company, but with the best companies, the hero companies, the best of the best. And that's what this is about, a call to leadership, a call to action to separate yourself from the good coast, separate yourself from the great companies that are operating companies or even the do-gooders that are out there. Because, you know, this is about making money and doing the right thing. And that's what we're doing with this whole thing around the Hero Factor and the Hero Club.
The Hero Club. All right. I want one last question. I got about 2 minutes or so. Creating the next generation of hero leaders, what are you doing to help do that?
Well, we're out there wherever we can to evangelize. But if you are running a hero company, then there's going to be a lot of hero leaders. So if we can get to the CEOs, and that's why our CEOs are most important. When we can get the CEOs and make an impact, then they make an impact on the people around them and their organizations, and they'll bring up the next level. I love training people. I love finding great talent. I love nurturing that talent, growing it. You know, in a lot of cases, it goes on somewhere else, and that's okay too. Just like your kids got to leave the house eventually, right? You know, and you want that to happen. I want that to happen with great people. And by the way, if I can build a company that they want to buy from me, even better, right? Yeah. If I can sell it to them, even better. I would love nothing more than that to happen. And so that's how you impact it. You impact it, you know, one decision at a time, one person at a time. And over time, you start to build the scale. You start to add the zeros. That's real critical in the business.
In high school, I played water polo, and I swam, and I dove, and I did all the water sports because I grew up in Southern California, and I surfed, and I wanted to be in the water at all times. I realized that my coach taught me more about life in the short time that I was in high school than I learned for probably the next decade until I failed at business, where I learned my next hard lesson, which was to kind of wake up and smell the arrogance of myself, you know, and you know what I'm saying. But when I was young, my coach was my mentor.
Yeah.
Do you guys with the Hero Club have coaching?
Oh, yeah, we have coaching. We have hundreds and hundreds of coaches that we can access at any given time through our C-suite network advisors. And they're engaged at all times. So if you need a special, you know, special need, special skill, special motivation, inspiration, through our C-suite network advisors, we have hundreds of coaches, trainers, thought leaders that can help with that. And by the way, you find mentors everywhere. You find mentors that can be in your business that work for you. You can find mentors, you know, certainly in your church or even, you know, just friends, you know, and inspiration you can draw off everywhere. There's lots of places to find that. Yeah.
Love
just
it.
Just got to ask.
No,
you got to realize it first. Like we said before, you got to realize it.
That's
then
right.
You realize it, then you got to do something about it.
You know? Well, you know, what sticks out for me today is this whole thing about self-realization, recognizing your faults. You got to learn how to listen, implement your ideas. Don't just sit there on your tuchus, as my dad would say. But I really, the one thing that sticks out here is it's a conscious choice. And it really is, people. This is something you must choose. It does not choose you. It's not just luck that happens. It's a choice. And Jeffrey Hazlett, I appreciate you handing that off to me today. Take that with me and go out and have a great rest of the weekend. Right?
My pleasure, and be happy.
That's right. I got to leave it on a light note. HeroFactorBook.com. You can find all about Jeffrey Hazlett. Jeff, thank you very, very much.
My pleasure.
All right. We'll see you guys all next week. Have a great weekend. Remember, it's a conscious choice. See you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.